Part 1, Chapter 7. Johnny Good Boy Tyler galloped free across the vast ocean of grass, Windsplitter exuberantly stretching his legs, the lead horse rollicking along behind. What a day. Blue sky and the wind a cooling freshness on his face. Now 2 days out, he had come down from the mountains, through the foothills and into the vastest plain he had ever imagined. He could still see the tiniest tip of High Peak behind him, and with the sun it kept him true on course and reassured him that he could find his way home whenever he wanted. Total security. The herds of wild cattle were many, but he had been living with those all his life. A few wolves, but what were wolves? No bear, no puma so far. Why, in all reverence to the gods, did anybody ever stay cooped up in the mountains? And monsters. What monsters? Crazy tales. Even that shiny, floating cylinder that had gone overhead every few days the whole of his life was overdue down here. It had come from west to east with the regularity of every other heavenly body, but even it seemed to have stopped. On his present course, he would have seen it. In short, Johnny Good Boy Tyler was suffering from a bad case of overconfidence. And the first disaster that hit him had to do with pigs. Pigs were usually easy to kill, if you were a bit nimble and watched out for charges of the boars. And a small suckling pig was exactly what one could use for supper. Right there ahead of him, clear in the late afternoon light, was a compact herd of pigs out in the open. There were big ones and small ones, but they were all fat. Johnny pulled Windsplitter to a halt and slid off. The wind was not quite right, a bit too downwind to the pigs. They'd smell him if he approached directly. With a bent knee run, he brought himself silently around them until the wind was at right angles. He stopped and hefted his club. The tall grass was nearly to his waist. The pigs were rooting around a shallow depression in the plain, where water stood in the wet months, making a temporary marsh. There must be roots to be had there, Johnny supposed. There were dozens of pigs, every one with his snout down. With a crouching gait, staying below the grass tops, Johnny went forward, closing the distance, yard by yard. Only a few feet separated him now from the outermost fringe of pigs. Silently he rose until his eyes were just above the level of the grass. A small porker was only 3 arm spans from him, an easy throw.
Here's for supper,
breathed Johnny, and heaved his kill club straight and true at the head of the pig. Dead on, a direct hit. The pig let out an ear splitter and dropped. But that wasn't all that happened. Instant confusion roared. Hidden from Johnny by the tall grass and slightly behind him and to his right, a 500-pound boar, who had become tired of eating, had lain down for a nap. The squeal of the hit pig acted like a whip on the whole herd, and away they went in an instant charge, straight upwind at Johnny's horses. For the big boar, to see was to charge. Johnny felt like he had been struck by a mountain avalanche. He was knocked flat and squashed in instants so close together they felt like one. He rolled, but the whole sky over him was filled with boar belly. He didn't see, but he sensed the teeth and tusks trying to find him. He rolled again, the savage squeals mixing with the roaring pound of the blood in his ears. Once more he rolled, and this time he saw daylight and a back. In the blink of an eye, he was on the boar's back. He reached an arm across the throat. The boar spun around and around like a bucking horse. Johnny's arm tightened until he could feel his sinews crack. And then the boar, strangled, dropped into a limp, jerking pile. Johnny unloaded quickly and backed up. The boar was gasping its breath back. It lurched to unsteady feet and, seeing no opponent, staggered off. Johnny went over and picked up the small pig, keeping an eye on the departing boar. But the boar, although it cast about and made small, convulsive charges, still couldn't see anybody, and after a bit it trotted in the direction the herd had taken, following the trampled grass. There was no herd in sight, and there were no horses. No horses! Johnny stood there with the dead pig. He had no sharp rock to cut it, he had no flints to start a fire and roast it, and he had no horses. It might be worse. He looked at his legs, expecting to see tusk gashes, but he found none. His back and face ached a bit from the collision of the charge and his own collision with the ground, but that was all. Mentally kicking himself, more ashamed than scared, he made off in the direction of the trail of crushed grass. After a while, his depression wore off a bit, to be replaced by optimism. He began to whistle a call. The horses would not have just gone on running in front of the pigs. They would have veered off somewhere. Just as darkness was falling, he spotted Windsplitter, calmly cropping grass. The horse looked up with a, "Where have you been?" And then, with a plainly mischievous grin, as though he had intended to all the time, came over and bumped Johnny with his muzzle. It took another 10 minutes of anxious casting about to locate the lead horse and the packs. Johnny went back a short way to a little spring they'd passed and made camp. There he made himself a belt and a pouch, and into the latter he put tinder and a flint and some small sharp-edged stones. He put a stronger thong on the big kill club and fastened it to the belt. He wasn't going to be caught empty-handed a second time in this vast prairie. No, indeed. That night he dreamed of Chrissy being strangled by pigs, Chrissy mauled by bears, Chrissy crushed to a pulp under stampeding hoofs while he stood helpless in the sky where the spirits go, unable to do a damned thing.